This is a Triple J podcast.
What does it mean to be Australian? It's a question that was posed by an artist a decade ago when he created what have become pretty iconic street art. You may have come across some of these over the past few years. Posters of racially and ethnically diverse people from more than a century ago with just one word across the bottom. Aussie. So where did this idea come from? Why has it been hijacked recently? And how relevant is it now, 10 years after it first started? I'm Dave Marchese. This is Hack's Long Listen of the Week, a chat with Australian street artist Peter Drew. Peter always knew his Aussie posters were going to attract some attention. That was the whole point.
They would say, oh, who is that guy? Don't know about that. Doesn't look very Aussie to me. And then I could sort of talk a bit about the history. And by the end of the conversation, we were closer together.
But he never suspected just how polarizing they would become. And he says the idea and the discussion that it kickstarts is more important now than ever.
I thought this history would be a great counterpoint to that xenophobia, which was on the street.
Beyond the Aussie posters, though, what is it like to be a street artist in Australia? To have your work scrutinised, loved, hated, so publicly?
It's funny that it has become the way which I am connected to people. I really like that about it, actually, is it's grown as I have.
He's a really fascinating guy, still driven by so much passion and committed to this one project that he came up with 10 years ago. Here is my chat with Australian street artist Peter Drew. Peter Drew, welcome to Hack.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like I'm speaking to like Australia's Banksy or something like that. Has anyone ever given you that comparison before?
A little bit, but I always have owned up to all the vandalism. So, and for some reason, I got a message today saying, how come you don't get arrested? And I don't know. I don't know why.
Well, it's an interesting question though, because I did want to ask, the stuff that you do putting up posters, is it legal?
No, it's illegal. And I think the reason why I haven't been brought to justice is that the posters are popular and people don't want to prosecute me because it's tolerated and they like them, and I put them up in places where, you know, they're ugly walls all over the city. And so I hope that they're mostly enjoyed. Every now and then I meet a property owner who definitely doesn't like my posters.
Okay.
But for the most part, they're enjoyed.
So you've had a couple of hairy moments maybe with people who haven't appreciated you chucking up an Aussie poster on their property.
Yeah, it does happen. And I sort of think that, I'm pretty conscientious about where I put them for the most part. Those people are generally just having a bad day. And, you know, usually they burst anger at me. And within 20 seconds, they're sort of, you know, confrontations have this weird intimacy to them. And then you realize, oh, I'm being a dickhead, you know, and then they sort of pull back and it usually ends well.
Well, I did want to ask, like, how do you choose where you're going to put these posters up? Like, I know that they appear in cities across Australia. You're from South Australia. Is it just big cities, or have you put them up in smaller communities too?
I've tried to get out to smaller communities, but not enough, really. Because I'm doing it all myself, I really need to hit the big cities and put up as many as I can. I really like to do a big sort of road trip one day. I plan to keep doing the project for another 10 years. So I think that might be the next stage, is to do the rural communities.
Been doing this for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's a massive part of the appeal to me, is to do this sort of epic project and sort of to answer the question, how much can I do on my own? I love that. I love waking up in the morning and going, oh, this is going to be a tough day. Like yesterday, I actually broke my record and put up 51 posters, which I'm very happy about. The absurdity of being on this quest of doing this, the audience gets something out of that as well. There's something sort of silly about it, but sort of hopeful as well.
I want to get into some of the thought process, where the idea came from. Like, how did you come up with this concept?
Well, I was really interested in the history of the Australian Cameleers, and I went looking at the National Archive for photographs of Cameleers, and I heard that they had to take exemption photographs for the dictation test, which was a part of the White Australia policy. So I looked in the archive and I found photographs, not many of Cameleers, but thousands of photographs of people who lived here about 100 years ago, and had to have these photos taken. And so,
and their job was they were bringing camels to Australia and trading camels or transporting with camels?
Yeah. So the cameleers worked mostly South Australia, West Australia, Queensland as well. They really opened up the outback. They were essential at the time. And so that part of our history and the connection to Muslim people, I think, was super fascinating. And it was at the time, it was 2016, and there was this huge wave of anti-Islamic sentiment, sort of similar, but also a bit different to now. And I thought this history would be a great counterpoint to that xenophobia, which was on the street. Once I found the photographs, I thought this needs to be very simple and direct, and project just grew from there.
Wow. Okay. And how did you choose which photos you were going to use? Did you start with just one, or was there a whole heap?
I had about 8 in the original set, but there was one which I knew would be the hero image. His name is Monga Khan, and he is sort of looking to the side in this very regal pose. He looks heroic and mysterious, and I thought, I want to know who that person is. There's something about him which I want to identify with, and I knew as soon as I saw the photograph, I thought, that's the guy. He is going to be the hero of this project.
And to be clear, he was alive a long time ago. He passed away many years ago.
Yes, yes. And he worked as a hawker in Victoria. And we don't really know very much about him, but that's the most powerful thing about the mystery. It's not really a history project. It's an art project that is about provoking curiosity so that people identify with these people and sort of, and identifying in that way is an imaginary act. It's not about learning the specific history as much as it is first just feeling a kinship with these people.
Have you ever found the descendants of these people and had conversations with them at all?
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's sort of this ongoing process because a family is, there's so many descendants. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes I can't find anybody. Sometimes I'm with Monga Khan especially, it's people still contacting me.
Do you try and ask permission before you do it, or is it just something that they're old photos in an archive and you chuck it up and see what happens?
Legally, anyone's allowed to use them. Mm. I've had a sort of tension with one or two people within the family, but then the other people in the family have spoken to that person and it's fine. This only happened a couple of times, but normally I don't ask the family at all, and then find out either they contact me within a year or in a couple of days after publishing.
Really?
It's super just exciting and surprised because all I have is the photograph and this very small amount of biographical information from the archive. And then when the family contacts me, I get so much information. And that part of it is because I don't really sort of publicize that. That's really just sort of between me and the families. And that's, a great part of the project for me personally.
What is the reaction that you were hoping to spark in people when they saw your posters? Originally, when you designed them, what kind of conversations did you want to be starting?
A couple that stand out that sort of I get a lot of, especially in that first year, there was sort of a bit of wariness and suspicion, and usually males, and they would say, oh, who is that guy? Don't know about that. Doesn't look very Aussie to me. And then I could sort of talk a bit about the history. And by the end of the conversation, we were closer together and they could see that there was good intentions in what I was doing. That happened a lot. And I really appreciated those. And the other type of message was usually people online saying that they have migrated here and the posters help them to feel more welcome. Actually, I met a couple in Marrickville last night who were from Ukraine, and they had that sort of feeling towards the posters. There are no Ukrainians in the Aussie poster series. It's just seeing somebody who doesn't fit the norm being included in Aussie. That's something that I find really interesting, is that it doesn't have to be somebody that looks like them. I really love that.
Do you know how many posters you've put up over the years?
I have a tally at home. It would be sort of around the 5,000 mark at this point.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this morning I've put up about just under 20. And so it's one at a time, but it just builds up over time.
I can imagine. And you make money out of this project as well. Obviously you sell posters, to be really transparent about like finances and stuff.
Yeah. It's entirely self-funded. So I've had plenty of offers to partner up with government, and I don't want to have to. I appreciate it because it's always nice when those offers come in, but I just like being on my own and not having to be accountable to bureaucracy. And I think it changes the nature of the thing as well. If people knew that I was funded by some sort of body, then that would change what the project is. So this way, everyone knows that if they see a poster and they have supported the project, they have actually helped it happen.
So you started off in 2016 because you were sensing this mood within the community. As a society, maybe things felt a bit disjointed, a bit fractured.
There's a bunch of different ways I could describe it, but I think that at its core, this project is about sort of hope and optimism and a celebration of Australia. I mean, I see myself as being patriotic, and I think that this sort of recent wave, very similar to that wave of anti-Islamic sentiment in the 2016, these guys, they call themselves patriots. They love Australia. They love the Anglo-Celtic heritage. They think that that should be top of the hierarchy and the rest of us should just filter in somewhere else. And we're not patriotic. They're patriotic. Why do you think they are patriotic? I think I'm patriotic. I think we're patriotic. We love Australia. We love what Australia actually is. And they are in love with this fantasy of what it really has never been. And so that's what I think of it. This project is at its core is defending our right to love this country for what it actually is, not for that fantasy.
The response over the years, has it changed at all? Like when you look at the response that your posters were receiving in 2016, is it similar to the kind of reaction that are producing in people today?
There's a real sort of angry nihilism to it that's sort of youth-driven in a way. These angry guys that hate my post, hate the posters. But it's hard to describe, but it's sort of, they don't really believe in anything very much.
Well, let's talk about some of the opposition to your project, because, you know, in recent months especially, we've seen some of your works defaced, vandalized, ripped down. After the Bondi terrorist attack, we saw people replacing pictures with convicted rapists, other criminals. Mm-hmm. How does that feel and how is that to deal with, seeing your idea and your work be distorted like that?
That's exactly what I'm talking about when I say nihilism. These guys sort of tell on themselves, and then by putting the alleged Bondi shooter on a Aussie poster, it's not really winning anyone to their cause. It's such a sort of nihilistic thing to do. And I think that sort of, it reveals the nature of these guys that are just really trolls. They're not doing that out of love for Australia, are they? It's just sort of wanting to get under people's skin. And there's a part of what I do, which is trying to get under their skin. And so when I see that I have, I like that.
Do you know any of these people that have taken your work, or have you had conversations with them?
Yeah, I do talk to them online, and I don't dislike them as people. What I do comes out of this angst in a lot of ways, and I can see that in them. It's just their ideas that I don't like. And so when I do converse with them online, it usually starts off, we send each other messages, just sort of shit testing each other, sort of trying to pay each other out. But eventually we're just talking. And I really like those interactions because, you know, they're curious. They're talking to me because they want to know why I'm not like them. And I'm the same as them in that sense, that I want to know why they're not like me as well. So I actually really like those chats.
Have you managed to win over some fans that way, talk them around?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. But, you know, we're more similar than you'd think. And it's good finding that middle ground.
In a strange way, has the attention that the vandalism to your work has brought made it more prominent? Like, have you found that people just now,
of course,
know about it that would never have known about it previously?
Of course. And I always try to think, there are going to be people that see the alleged Bondi shooter on an Aussie post, and that's going to be upsetting to them, and so it should be. But to me, I know it is going to bring more attention to my posters and the positive message that they have. So when there's a bit of sort of argy-bargy with the other side, it always benefits my cause in the end.
Are you worried that sometimes the posters that you create might stir up some kind of negative sentiment in the community, or that someone, if a poster goes up in a certain spot and a bunch of people see it that don't like it, that someone who maybe does dress differently or is ethnically, culturally diverse, who's out on the street, might be the target of an attack because someone has been, I don't know, offended or triggered by a poster of yours? Is that something that's ever come into your head?
Yeah, I think about how, because weird things can happen, but it would have to be so strange for it's hard for me to imagine how that would actually happen. But yeah, it is possible. So I just try to be conscientious about where I put them. I mean, that's all I can really do.
Yeah, there's spots where you won't put them, where you're like, oh, this is not an area I want to be chucking a poster or...
Not so much areas, but places specifically that people have too much of a personal attachment to. It's public space. And so the areas that are sort of used by everybody, no one person or one group has too much of a specific attachment to. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, so I've got a pretty good instinct about where those places are. And so I can just sort of feel it out when I'm there.
What's some of the worst stuff that you've copped because of this project? Like, is it threats to you? Is it really kind of negative comments about your work or who you are? Like,
well, physical altercations.
You know? Oh, you've had physical altercations?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's as I said before, there's a strange intimacy to it. As soon as a guy's grabbing you and you can see his face right there.
So it's when you're trying to put up a poster and someone's physically trying to stop you.
Yeah. And it always is, this shame is pretty immediate. Yeah, I don't want to make someone that angry. And when someone's that angry and they've grabbed me, they're already embarrassed by what they're doing. And so it sort of dissipates pretty quickly.
Have you ever thought about changing the style up at all? I mean, would you use pictures of more modern Australians, anything like that?
I'll never use modern images. There'll always be archival images, but I'm sort of slowly going outside of the dictation test, white Australia policy. I'd like to include white people eventually. There's this sort of, over time, the project needs to try to depict the whole rather than just depicting the people who are excluded from the concept of Aussie. The way I'd like to do it is by using mugshots, because there's this idea that, oh, Aussie, it's such a big, grandiose thing. It's not really. It's just everyone. And so I like the idea of using mugshots because it would be evocative of sort of the convict past. That's actually my interest in archival images started with mugshots. And so I know I can find some fantastic images that way. So it wouldn't be photographs of Gough Whitlam or of some high achiever. It's just people, ordinary, everyday people is really what I'm most interested in.
What do you see as the future of the project in terms of how many years do you want to be keeping this up? Like, can you see yourself doing this as an old man going around and gluing up?
That is exactly what I want to be doing. That's really, I came to street art before politics, and the Aussie posters and having this big project to work on came second because I wanted to keep putting up posters. And so I've started this thing now and I don't see any reason to stop. I really like the idea of being old and decrepit and still doing my job and putting up the posters. Keep doing as long as I'm physically able.
What makes you motivated to keep going? There must be some reason. Is it the response that you get from people, or is it just knowing what you're achieving, or just wanting to see a project through to the end?
It's all of those things. I like having the big project that gives some sort of purpose and meaning to my existence. Really.
That's what we're all looking for.
Yeah, I really love the adventure of it. And meeting people on the street, especially. Messages online are nice as well, but it's being out there and seeing the country and interacting with it. It's really fun.
This isn't the only theme in your project in terms of Aussie or not. You've also tackled something else, which we've been talking about quite a bit on Hack recently, but the gas tax. How'd you get into that, and what's the poster around that? How does that work?
Well, I was following what David Pocock has been saying and also Punters Politics, and I wanted to connect with them because I really love an issue that cuts across political lines. It's everybody I speak to says, oh, yeah, we should probably tax our gas properly because Norway does it and it works for them. How often do you find a topic which isn't split across left and right?
I said that earlier this week, that it's so rare to find a political issue that is so universally accepted among so many people.
So then it raises the question, why can't we do something about it? Why can't our political class sort of grab this opportunity which is hanging out there? And it teaches you something about politics and how money works in politics, whether our politicians are actually leaders or sort of just managers. That's why I wanted to get involved with that topic. And so I wanted a poster which communicates that as clearly as I can.
What do you say to people, Peter, who might be listening to this going, it's illegal what you're doing, and you're just trying to cause a bit of chaos, and they're not fans of your work, and they don't see value in it?
Well, it is illegal, but they come down in the rain. Like, it's not really, nothing really to be upset about. And I think they look great. And I make each one of them by hand. I screen print it by hand and then color it with acrylic inks. Like, I've put my labor and my creativity into these posters, and I think they look terrific. If you don't like them, then I'm sorry, but maybe... And I don't need to insult people. if it didn't upset anybody at all, then it wouldn't really have any bite to it. But I still do want to sort of win over those people.
What does it feel like to be a street artist? As someone who's been in this field for a while, and you said that you got into street art before you were really into politics.
I think it comes from wanting to be on the outside of things. When I'm walking around on the street, I'm wearing high vis. I look like somebody who's working on the street. And I sort of feel separate from everything in that way. And I think that that personality trait is pretty common with most people who do graffiti and make street art. It's sort of this separateness. So it's funny that it has become the way which I am connected to people. I really like that about it, actually, is it's grown as I have in that sense.
Peter Drew, what do you think it means to be Aussie?
Well, it's a hard thing to sum up, but I actually, my childhood was really steeped in that sort of 1980s optimism of what it means to be Aussie. And Bob Hawke, on his Australia Day address during the bicentennial celebrations, summed it up pretty well with the phrase, "The commitment is all." That if you're committed to this place, that is what it is to be Australian, and there is no hierarchy of birth or descendancy. And so that's actually an amazing thing. And we don't really appreciate that because it's kind of an idea which we didn't come up with. We sort of inherited it from other places. I really hope that idea doesn't slip away, although I think that most Australians really still want to see us that way.
It's been so lovely to chat with you, Peter, someone who I've been looking at your posters for so many years, as have many Australians, and never thought I'd be sitting down and having a chat with you, but it's been such a pleasure. Australian street artist Peter Drew, really appreciate you joining us on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really love that chat with Peter Drew. And remember, if you did like that interview, subscribe to this podcast because we've got chats like that dropping every single week. Go follow us on socials as well at Triple J Hack on Instagram and TikTok. That is all for now. I'll catch you next time. Hack.